Finally, this hour, in so many of the racially charged headlines over the past 2 years, the common denominator has been the presence of a firearm. No gun, no deaths in Charleston last month. No gun and no fatal shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. No gun and no fatal shooting of Walter Scott in South Carolina. In one of those cases, the gun was in possession of a civilian. In the other two, it was white police officers who pulled their guns in an altercation. We talk a lot about removing guns from circulation in America at large, but nothing is ever done about it. We never talk about removing guns from the hands of police. What would happen if we simply subtracted the guns from encounters between law enforcement and civilians? Well, if you could, you might end up with a situation in Britain, where very few police officers carry guns. Handguns and assault rifles are completely banned, and the percentage of civilians with guns is low, which partially explains how in 2012, according to data compiled by the FBI, 409 Americans were killed by police shootings, but for the same year in Britain, the figure was just one. Sir Peter Fahey is chief of the Greater Manchester Police. He oversees 6,700 officers, and only 209 of them are armed.
The context, really, I suppose, in the UK starts from a position that we are a routinely unarmed police force. But on the other hand, we do deal with very dangerous situations where offenders do have knives or other serious weapons. So, number one, you start from a very strong selection process. But then the whole way that we train officers is almost an absolute last resort is to use your firearm. And it's about when you get into a situation that you assess the situation, that you give yourself other options, and starts from a position always that for any police officer, the best weapon is their mouth. But as I say, it exists within really also a public context where the public treat extremely seriously a police officer firing their weapon, where the legal system sets a very high bar, really. So, for instance, in the 40 years of the history of Greater Manchester Police, we've only shot dead two people over that whole period. And, you know, we cover a very busy city with a population of 2.7 million. But I think it's also the situation that you put your police officers into. We've done a lot of work on mental health issues. If you end up using your police force as an outreach for mental health services, then the trouble is that police officers end up having to deal with people often who are, you know, disordered in different ways, are suffering from mental illness. And the trouble is then a police officer in that situation only often has a, you know, firearm as the means of which they're dealing with that. So we've worked very, very strongly with our health service to try and make sure that it is health workers who respond to mental health crisis, not police officers.
One of the curious dynamics I think that we should explore here is that whenever there is an incident like the shooting in Charleston or Newtown or any of the places I could name, the pushback is, okay, liberals are going to use this as an opportunity to crack down on guns. We have to push back on this and make sure that, nothing happens in response to this kind of terrible crime, and we condemn it, of course. It seems to be just the opposite in Britain. If you go back to the Ryan massacre in 1987, that led to the banning of all semi-automatic weapons. And 9 years later, when Thomas Hamilton killed 16 schoolchildren in Dunblane, Parliament banned all handguns. And there's a mandatory 5-year jail sentence for possession. How does that work if it can't work here?
No, I think your analysis is absolutely spot on. That was the reaction to those various tragedies. We have incredibly tight gun laws, and I think that is a big issue behind this. But on the other hand, I think you have to accept the reality of the political and the public culture in the United States. And you know, I am struck when I do go to some American cities, the number of people who appear to be on the sidewalk who clearly are suffering from mental health issues. And the trouble is, as I say, if you use your police force as the outreach service to deal with those people, then the trouble is they often end up in situations where that person's demeanor ends up with them getting shot. I think what has made a big difference for us is a much better way of working with mental health services and also trying to make sure, you know, deaths also occur in custody blocks, in cell blocks. And again, it's also really important that you're not bringing people with mental health issues into police custody blocks. And I think that should be the focus because, I think realistically, you're not going to change the gun culture in the United States, but it's more about the way that police officers have to deal with other incidents where people may be carrying other types of weapons, but where there should be other ways of trying to deal with that other than shooting them dead.
Would you say that based on your own experience as an officer that you typically knew the people on the street that you were encountering, that officers are much closer in the community and are taught to be much closer into the communities where they serve?
Yeah, I would say that, and I think that is another, crucial issue here. Often you find that the people that you're coming into contact with, some of the criminals, particularly some of the people suffering from mental health issues, they're often extremely well known to local officers. And if those local officers have a relationship with that person, often if they're called to the incident, again, they can use that relationship and familiarity to, talk that person out of what they're doing. So that local knowledge, that local, familiarity is really, really important. It's putting in a whole structure and a whole system of policing, which is very much based on understanding the area, keeping the same officers in that area, them being judged about their effectiveness in solving the problems in those areas, not by some other set of targets or some other particular priority which is not important to that community. And so we actually, to be fair, we introduced a new type of colleague, probably about 10 years ago, called a police community support officer. And these colleagues have no police powers, and their job is, as it says on the tin, they go out there to support the community, and they just build relationships, they encourage volunteering. And I can only tell you, we were a bit sceptical about them at the beginning, but they've just been enormously valuable because policing is all based on relationships.
How do you deal with race there in the UK? And I know it's difficult to compare, but why do you think, or do you think, that the United States seems to get race so wrong in some of these incidents between law enforcement and civilians?
I'm not sure we are a lot better. We've had incidents, the riots that we had in this country in 2011 followed the shooting of a black person in London, which has sadly followed a pattern we'd seen in many other incidents. So, there continue to be serious issues. That said, I think by, the form of neighbourhood policing that we use, about putting a huge emphasis on hate crime, on crimes motivated by hatred and prejudice, about being very active in dealing with community tensions, and we've got big issues at the moment around our Muslim population, particularly because of the terrorist situation, but about being very proactive about those sorts of issues. It gives you a chance, but, I wouldn't want to say that the British police has had a huge amount more success. I think what does strike me when I go to the United States is that you have a lot more black police officers, you have a lot more black police chiefs. But I know, again, talking to some of those officers, that if the local people still feel that that badge is a symbol of an unfair system, then the trouble is often it doesn't really matter whether you're a black officer or a white officer. So I come back to it really that, for the police to be successful on issues like race, then essentially you need a population that basically feels that they're getting a fair chance, that the system is fair to them. And I think, possibly that they are the issues that we've made some progress on.
Sir Peter Fahey, Chief Constable of the Greater Manchester Police and the Association of Chief Police Officers, spokesman on workforce development, currently commanding 6,700 officers, only 209 of which are armed. Sir Peter, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.